Hello, hello. Hello, no BS. How is everyone today? Let's give you all a minute to come on in. I see Coach Lizzie has raised her hand. She will be our amazing coach in the chat and in the Q&A. Let's get you called up, Lizzie. How's everybody today? Panelist. All right. Let's make sure Lizzie. Yep, here she comes. All right. How is everybody doing? We'll give everybody a minute to come in. I am Coach Kathy. For those of you who do not know me, why am I here today? Why is Coach Kathy on this call instead of Corinne? It is because I am going through this amazing training right now on nervous system resilience. What does that mean? Nervous system. I love the word resilience. But how does that tie into the nervous system? Think about when you get agitated, or when you get sad, or when you get unhappy, upset. Your nervous system activates. You might feel jittery when you're anxious. You might feel really low posture when you're sad. These are all feelings generated by your nervous system. And grief is one of those feelings that can have an effect on your nervous system. So I am here to help you learn how to cope with grief, how to allow it to be there. Because y'all, as part of the human experience, it is, we are going to lose people. We are going to lose things. We are going to lose part of us. As we navigate our lives, we are going to experience grief. So, experiencing it in a very healthy way, in a very productive way, is what the goal is here today. Okay. So, before we get started, all of you new members, this is a live training Zoom. So, I probably will not be doing any coaching, but if you have questions, you can use the Q&A at the bottom. Either Coach Lizzie will answer them or she will leave some for me. You can always talk to Coach Lizzie in the chat. You can ask questions in the chat, but if you want me to see them, you'll need to put them in the Q&A. Okay? This is the final week of our November monthly focus, handling the holidays reloaded. If you just joined us or you haven't done any of the other classes, it's fine, not a problem. Participation is easy. All you need to do is go onto the website in the menu, excuse me, and look for this month in No BS. Okay, you'll watch the Handling the Holidays pre-recorded course on the website or on the Pathways podcast. It's less than an hour long, four lessons, piece of cake, right? You can use this particular course anytime throughout the year, anytime you have a holiday get together, anytime. It's a great course for vacations, okay? For any time you're spending time with family, for any time where you are getting together with new traditions, anything like that, use Handling the Holidays. I know I give this course out to my private clients a lot. And it doesn't have to be around the holiday season that we're in right now. So it's going to teach you how to handle holiday event meal planning, deciding how you want to think about the holiday season, even a reentry plan for when the holidays are over, and how to deal with that jackass who sits across the table from you and can't stop talking during the meal. Right? Corinne calls him Uncle Bocephus. I'm sure we all have one. You can listen to these Q&As for special topics on body image, dealing with family and grief, like we're going to talk about today. And you can get your questions answered live on this call. We'll have a grief coaching call tomorrow night, Thursday, November 30th, 6 p.m., where I will be here to help apply what you're going to learn today to your own situations. Sound good? And then December, let's talk about December for just a hot second. No BS diet drama reset, new content. I am so excited about this. Corinne is going to go after all those BS diet mentality thoughts. Hundreds of you told us what your diet mentality thoughts were, and we're going to be busting through them. all month long. Okay, that will all start on December 1st. All right, so let's talk about grief. So what is grief, y'all? Oh, let me mention this too. This call, I don't want to cry. This call just happens to take place on the eighth anniversary of me losing my own dad. So I may, oh goodness, here they come. I may use how I have processed my grief about losing him throughout this call so that you can see how these tools work. You know, I often teach by example. I think it's, to me, it's a very easy way to understand and apply concepts. So if I don't cry too much, I will use my dad and losing him as an example throughout this call. Okay. All right. So what is grief? Anybody? Deep sorrow, right? Deep sorrow, especially when associated with a loss. It can be a small loss. It can be a profound loss. It can be a person that you've lost. It can be your pet. I can't tell you how many people on the grief they feel for the loss of their pet. And that's really important because pets, you know, that's the unconditional love, right? Okay. You can experience grief with a health diagnosis. Breast cancer this summer, right? I grieved my health for a little while as I figured out how to treat breast cancer, my version of breast cancer. A lot of people, especially in no BS, will grieve the amount of food they realize they no longer need. Grief is one of those feelings that's going to come around that you cannot judge, y'all. You can't judge grief. Grief is one of those feelings that will hit you and you'll want to go, I shouldn't feel that way about food. I shouldn't feel that way. No. Grief is a loss that you're going to feel internally and inherently. Okay. And it's okay. We're going to talk about today why it's okay to experience any feeling. And I just want to preface the fact that grief is one of those feelings that is so normal. Just like I said, it's something that we're going to experience throughout life for various reasons. And I just gave you a lot of examples. Loved one. Oh, loss of a job. People grieve jobs when they lose a job or they leave a job. Pet mobility. Here's another one. You might grieve the realization that old you and new you may have different maintenance ranges. So when Kathy was in college, went to college when I was 17, y'all. I weighed about 125 pounds. I will never weigh 125 pounds again. I maintained 125 to 30 pounds while I was in college. I was walking all the time. I was poor. I didn't eat. I didn't eat much at all. My metabolism was probably like, you know, amazing. If I weighed 125 pounds right now, y'all would think I was sick. I was really sick. So when we compare our current selves and what our current bodies need to our past selves, a lot of times we can grieve that past self. And, you know, that's totally normal and totally okay. So there's lots of ways grief shows up in our lives. And I wanted to make sure that everybody saw that and understood that. Now, what happens a lot of times when we experience grief is our nervous system will put on the brakes. It'll say, oh no, this is a tough one. We don't want to feel this. This is going to hurt. We might not get out of this feeling. This, if we go down, we're going to stay down. Have all of that dialogue that goes on when grief hits. So what do? I don't want to feel this. I shouldn't feel this. This is scary. Nervous system gets activated. You either go like super agitated above home base, or you go sad, sorrowful, scared below home base. and your body understands that it is no longer within your home base zone, and it says, we should eat, we should drink, we should shop, we should do any of these things to distract us and take us back down into calm and productive and happy. That's the nervous system reaction when a tough emotion comes to us. We don't want to think about the loss or what it means or the change it's going to make in our lives, so we eat. Our brains think change is dangerous. How many times have we heard Corinne say that, right? Change comes around as like a puma around the corner. We're going to have to learn new things. Uh-oh, something's going to be different. I don't know if I can handle this. I'm going to tell you, you can handle all of it. We handle change every single day. We pivot like it's our jobs. We make mistakes. We learn. We pivot. We do all those things all the time. So what do we do with all this information that I have just like given you, right? We think about where we can pause when we feel the grief before we eat. When we feel the tough emotion before we eat. There's a place in there, we talk about it a lot. Just take a pause. Pause for a minute and get curious and think. Now, when you are agitated or when you are down, in order to take this pause and do this work, you have to be able to think consciously. If you are way above home base, this is not going to work. So what you have to do is create safety and awareness and a place in your mind where you can say, okay, my dad's gone. The Army-Navy game's coming up. That was his big thing, y'all. Army-Navy game. I can feel this without judging it. I can root for Navy. I can laugh about what he would be saying right now because Navy's football team is terrible, let me just say. And I can be okay with being sad that he's not here watching this with me. That's the pause, okay? That's the safety. I'm ready. I'm ready to do these things. So this is how we regulate our nervous system. We create safety. We come back to a calm, peaceful place so that we can process the emotion. Everybody with me? Give me thumbs up if you're with me. Thumbs up. Thumbs down. Thumbs up. Awesome. Good. Thank you. Awesome. So what we're doing in the pause is we're creating awareness and curiosity. And here are your three steps, your three coping steps. Are you ready? This process is in the pause. Step one, acknowledge and validate. You are feeling what you're feeling. I'm feeling what I'm feeling. It's not right. It's not wrong. It is here and it is okay. And it is allowed for us to feel, acknowledge and validate. No judging. I never want to hear anybody say, I shouldn't feel this way. Why? Why shouldn't you feel that way? We are humans that have thoughts, that have feelings, that have hearts. You should absolutely feel anything you want to feel. You are allowed to feel anything you want to feel. And you should feel. It is part of our human experience. So allowing the feelings, acknowledging them, even naming them, they're real and they're valid. Okay? They're also temporary. How many times have you thought, if I go down that road, I won't ever stop feeling? You will. That's just fear in your primal brain going, are we sure we want to do this? Are we sure we could just eat? But you don't have to, because the feeling, you know, how many times we've heard a feeling lasts 90 seconds. It could be longer, and that's okay. But if you resist it, it's just going to amplify. It's just going to bug you to death. Allow it, acknowledge it, and validate it. It is okay that we feel these things. They're fluid, they're temporary. And as I coach you, or Coach Lizzie coaches you, or one of the other people coaches you, we are here to stand as your compassionate witness. That is my heart. I want to witness for you, help you understand your human nature, your perfect human nature. Okay? Step one, acknowledge and validate. Ready for step two? Normalize. Now, before I went to this training, I was normalizing grief all over the place and didn't even realize it was a good step to do. If you watch old grief calls, if you watch, MJ did a call on Sunday where she talked about, she coached someone through grieving a family member. Normalizing your feelings is such an important part. We wouldn't grieve if we didn't love. Now think about that. Let that land. Let's say your neighbor down the street who you barely know passes away. You probably don't grieve that person. You might be sad. You might be a little sad. Oh, that's sad. But you're not going to grieve them because you don't have an emotional attachment to them. So I grieved my dad hard because I love him very much. Maybe I don't need to talk about my dad on this call. What do y'all think? Okay. So the harder you grieve indicates the more love and affection and caring and compassion you had for that person. So if you don't normalize that grief with that kind of thought, guess what happens? You push away the grief, which means you also don't get to experience the love, the compassion, the affection. You see the point here? It's like the 50-50 on steroids, y'all. The grief is an indicator that you have love, right? So I often ask people, you know, if they come to me and they say, you know, I'm grieving this job. I'm grieving this, you know, amount of food I get to eat. I'm grieving my dad. And I'll say, why is that normal? So ask yourself, in step two, why is it normal that I feel this way? And that will invite in the 50-50. It will tell you, I'm grieving this job because I felt like I was making a difference. I'm grieving this job because, you know, it was a great paycheck. I'm grieving this job because, you know, I'll miss all my friends. That invites in how else you want to think about it. Make sense? You wouldn't feel sad, like I said, if you didn't also feel love. You're not alone in thinking and feeling this way. Essentially, you are encouraging common humanity because humans feel. We have the gift of feeling. You're not broken, unusual, overreacting, underreacting. However you grieve, however you normalize your grief is perfect for you. Okay? Some people are going to grieve harder than others. Some people are going to grieve longer than others. Y'all know we lost a team member this year. We lost Heidi. I don't want to cry again. So Corinne hired a coach whose name is Krista St. Germain. Many of you have heard from her. She's a life coach school, master certified coach, and her specialty is grief. And she came in and coached us. And she said, grief is not linear. Grief is a mess. I mean, if you picture it, you know how we talk about weight loss, you know, kind of goes down in the trend like this. Well, a lot of people think, you know, oh, there's seven stages to grief, or there's five stages to grief, and they have to follow them exactly. That's wrong. Grief looks like a cobweb. Some days are up, Some days are down. Nobody knows why, and it doesn't matter. It's normal to grieve, and it's normal to have it messy. So step two, normalize your feelings. Okay, why am I feeling this? Why is it okay that I'm feeling this? Then step three is to give yourself permission to feel. Now, this can be a hard one for a lot of people. Okay. This can be the tough one. This is where, you know, we decide it's okay to go in the room and have a big cry, where we decide it's okay to allow that pit in our stomach when we think about that person. You want to allow yourself to feel on purpose, deliberately. And it's okay to feel what you feel and how you want to feel. So allowing yourself to feel takes that normalized line and gives you the next best. How do I want to do this? How do I want to be in this feeling? What do I want to remember? How can I deliberately make time to feel my sadness, to maybe bring in some memories, to think about how they'd be reacting? You ever thought about that? My dad, I won't tell you, that old Navy guy, he would be, "Kathleen, what are you doing crying on that call, talking about me?" And it would make me laugh because that's the kind of person he was. No nonsense, totally. I don't know how he birthed somebody like me. So the three steps: acknowledge and validate, normalize, give yourself permission to feel. I'm not seeing any questions yet. So if you have any questions as I go through this, feel free to put them in. All right. After you've done the three steps, now it's time to process. So remember that worksheet in No BS, feeling your feelings? After you have acknowledged, normalized, and given yourself permission to feel, deliberate permission to feel, I would encourage you to do that body scan. Get to know what grief feels like in your body. It is I'll go over the coach again at the end of the call because I have a pod, she has a podcast that's great too. Knowing how your body is responding. Sometimes, y'all, your body shows you a feeling before you have a thought. Give me a thumbs up or a heart or something if you have ever experienced that. It's like a clenching in your body or some kind of feeling in your body. And you're like, what's going on with me? Right? Happens to me all the time. As you name these feelings, and as you give yourself permission to feel them, then you drop into your body and say, okay, I am feeling my grief right now. What does it feel like? And for me, it's a heaviness. My shoulders get really heavy. My stomach clenches. So now I know when I have those feelings, I can think to myself, I wonder what's going on here. I must be grieving my dad right now. Or grieving my pup right now, or missing something. So it's really important for you to connect the feeling in your body with what's going on in your mind as well. Because this is how we kind of hack our nervous system so that we can tell ourselves we're safe and we don't need food to fix things. Many times we eat over grief because our nervous system realizes or thinks we're in danger. Okay, it's that puma. Think about grief as that puma around the corner. If you fear grief, you will get urges to eat to distract from it. But if you don't fear grief, if you lean into it and understand it and make friends with it and almost embrace it because it is an indicator that you also love, then you won't need to eat in response to it. It's almost like if we can deliberately give ourselves permission to feel the grief, we can say no to the eating over it. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. So when we feel danger, we're not at home base. This is where we go back to the beginning. We create a little safety. We acknowledge, validate, normalize, and give ourselves permission. And then we don't feel the danger anymore. We just feel the grief. Other tips. Krista St. Germain is the grief expert that Corinne brought in for us. Her podcast is called The Widowed Moms Podcast. So Krista is amazing at grief, at coaching grief, at talking about grief. Her niche is women who have lost their husbands and have to raise their children on their own. That will apply to some of us, but it won't apply to all of us specifically. But I can tell you, I have listened to a lot of her podcasts. And while I'm not a widowed mom, I have taken so much out of her podcast about grief. So Krista St. Germain, Lizzie's put the information in the chat. She's amazing, and she has a very empathic way about her, very calming, nurturing kind of personality. Krista says the stages of grief are cookie cutter, kind of like Weight Watchers, cookie cutter, right? It's like somebody created a grief plan at some point. And grief is not cookie cutter. Yours might be messy. Mine was messy. All that's okay. We are individuals. Just it's the same as what we teach here in No BS about weight loss. We are each individuals. We are each different. We're going to process feelings differently. We're going to grieve differently, and it's okay. So if you got that book on the five stages of grief or however many they are, you may not be that linear. Let's just put it that way. Krista always says that the notion that grief will heal or pass with time, BS. We don't want to push it. We don't want to assume that if I feel my grief three times, I won't feel anymore, right? No. But if you feel your grief three times or four times, you will get more used to it. It will normalize for you. It might be easier to manage. But grief doesn't heal with time. It's a feeling. Does happy heal with time? Does nervous heal with time? No. It's a feeling stored in our bodies because we love. Last thing, and this was so interesting when I heard Krista talk about this on her podcast, it's okay to talk about the people we've lost. In fact, she was talking about how she wished people talked about her husband with her more. So talking can help normalize for you and for the person, you know, people around you. Ken's, my husband's sister, lost her husband about 5 years ago. And until I heard Krista talk about it's okay to talk about the people who have died, I was always very scared. If I mention Gary, I might make Charlene sad. No. If I mention Gary, it helps her know that he was loved by more than her. So stories will come up. It's okay to talk about the people, the things, the pups that you've lost. It's going to be messy. You're going to grieve in your own way. Just be okay with it. Be okay with the person that you are as you grieve your loved one. Okay? All right, let's hit this Q&A. Let's see what we got over here. I've been having a hard time with letting myself experience happiness and joy without guilt and sadness for feeling happiness and joy because my son will never be able to share it with me again. Okay, so Lee lost her son in a car accident, looks like about 8 years ago. So this is very, very common. Okay. You are feeling guilt and sadness, and you're trying to feel happiness and joy. So let's normalize this for a minute. Let's ask this question. I'm going to guess your son would not want you to feel guilt about being happy. Right? So let's acknowledge first. Let's go through our three steps. Acknowledge and validate. You're feeling guilt and sadness because you want to be happy. Okay. I'm going to give that to you. Guilt and sadness. Why wouldn't you feel guilt and sadness? Let's normalize this. You've lost your son. There's a hole in your life. You're grieving him. If you lean into the guilt and sadness and you think about it a little bit more and you take it through the four ends, I notice I'm feeling guilt and sadness. This is normal because I've lost my son. It's Christmas time. It's the holidays. Neutralize. Today's November 29th. Lost son in car accident in 2015. Next best. Honor the guilt and sadness. Work with the happiness and joy. Invite it in. You know, here's the thing, y'all. You don't have to just feel one feeling at a time. Right now, I can tell you I am nervous. I'm a little sad, little tiny bit of grief. I feel relief because this call is here. I feel encouraged because you're here. You're giving me thumbs up and hearts when I ask for them, letting me know that you're okay. Feel validated by the thumbs and hearts. All these things at one time. You can do that too. I will say, though, that guilt, the guilt that you feel, is not going to be productive for you. I would parcel it out. Why do you feel guilt? Why do you feel sad? Why do you want to feel happy? And go through the four ends and see how they do for you. So I hope that helps. How do you grieve when you find you're in a freeze state? You know it's in there, pressing to express, but it has become frozen inside. All right, so freeze state, everyone, is a combination of being above home base and below home base. This is what I go, this is my go-to, is a freeze state. I get this one. You are agitated and anxious, yet you can't move. You can't think. You can't make a decision. This means you are a little bit dysregulated. You are not at home base. So Anonymous, what I would suggest is that you go through a safety exercise. You do some breathing. You tell yourself it's okay. Big thing for me, y'all, I've carried tension in my shoulders across my neck. If I just lower my shoulders, it's like I can breathe. Lower your shoulders. The first thing you have to do is pull yourself out of the freeze state and re-regulate before you can go to work on coping with grief. Okay? So there's some regulation things that you can look at in the Trusting Your Body Toolkit. And I bet Lizzie can find that link in the Trusting Your Body program for you. Those will help you pull yourself out of freeze state so that you can process your grief. Let's see what's next. How do you unlock yourself so that you can feel? I listen to what you're saying, Kathy, and wholeheartedly agree with it and can follow the reasoning and logic, but I still sit here feeling nothing. Have you given yourself permission? That's the big question. Or is there still something blocking you? What is blocking you from feeling? It's probably fear. It might be, if I feel this, I won't ever stop feeling this. That is very, very common. What is blocking you? That's the question. If we were on a back and forth, we would go after that first. So in your journal, I want you to say, what is preventing me from feeling? What am I afraid of? Because it's probably your primal brain going, oh no, this is going to be bad. And by the way, if we feel, we can't eat. So ask your primal brain, what is it afraid of? What's going on right now so that I can get in here and feel my feelings? One of the things I would suggest for anyone who has trouble with this is to create a feelings vocabulary or inventory. Inventory is a good word too. Also in the Trusting Your Body course is a feelings wheel. I would look at that wheel and all of the things on the feelings wheel and say, I understand how to feel that. Oh, I do feel that. And I feel that. And I feel that. And what do they feel like in my body? Okay. Once you acknowledge that you do feel things, like right now, you're feeling, let's see, listen to what you're saying and wholeheartedly agree with it and can follow the reasoning and logic. So you're understanding. You're feeling understanding. You might even feel a little bit willing. You just haven't crossed the bridge into doing yet. So look at that feelings wheel and see what it is you do know how to feel and see if you can adapt that to why you're afraid to feel grief. Make sense? Any advice for grieving the relationship with toxic family members who are still alive? Things that could have been. Holidays really hit hard because of it. Oh, yes. This is any advice? Everything I just told you. This is another form of grief. You're grieving a previous relationship. You're grieving how people used to act. You're grieving how you used to feel about someone. The missing piece for you is the transition of the development of the relationship. So you want it to be the way it used to be. It has now evolved and developed into something that you are grieving. You don't like. You're grieving the old as it has evolved into the new. Same thing, same steps. I'm seeing a lot of free versus freeze state. It is freeze, like cold, F-R-E-E-Z-E. Freeze state is a nervous system reaction that I described with the previous question. All right. Sammy says, Kathy, this information is so helpful. I lost my sister on June 1st. On June 10th, another family member told me it's been long enough for me to grieve her and I need to get over it. Wrong. They're wrong. Let's just say wrong. Wrong advice. How should you respond to a statement like that when family and friends think you should be done grieving? You know, and she says, Sammy goes on to say, I know I will grieve my sister during Christmas because this will be my first year without her. How you respond to them is up to you. If it were me, I would just say, I'd probably say, I appreciate you thinking about me, but I've got this. I'm doing this my way and it's okay. What's probably happening, Sammy, is that they're uncomfortable because you're grieving. That's their problem. It is totally their issue. You manage grief the way you need to manage grief. All right. If you honor the grief for your sister, you're also going to honor the love you have for her. And I use that word honor very intentionally because that's what we're doing. We're honoring ourselves and our own feelings and honoring those people or those things that we've lost. Okay. That's what we want to do. We're being authentic to our feelings. We are validating ourselves. People just don't know what to do with people who are honest about what they're thinking and what they're feeling. You know, how many times have you thought, I can't cry in public. People will think I'm whatever, right? People will laugh at me. People will wonder what's going on with me. Well, let me tell you something. If you haven't figured it out on this call yet, or Kathy's a crier. I cry at commercials. I cry at church. I cry on coaching calls. I emote. And that it's just part of who I am. If you are grieving a loved one, that's part of who you are right now. And that's okay. You are being true to what you feel. And you are honoring yourself and that person with the grief and the love that you feel about them. So, somebody says, how come you're not over that yet? I'm just not done with it yet. Thank you for being concerned about me. I've got this. It's probably what I'd say. But this helped me move past the sorrow and get to the joy of having them in my life. Sharla, yes. What it will do, though, is help you experiencing them. It will help you experience it. I can't speak. It will help you experience the sorrow and the joy together at the same time. Okay? It's not like once we're done grieving, we'll be happy. You might always miss them. You probably will always miss them. So my mom has been gone since 1992. I still miss her. I'm still sad that she's not here with me, seeing my grandkids. Here come the tears again. Authentic Kathy right here, y'all. But that doesn't mean I don't miss her and I don't love her and I don't remember the joy in my life when she met her grandkids. Okay? Goodness, y'all. Goodness. So the answer to your question is, will it help you move past the sorrow? It'll help you process the sorrow. It will help you not be afraid of the sorrow. Okay? And in that, in normalizing the sorrow, it will feel like more like you have moved past, but it is more likely that it just normalizes and you won't be afraid of feeling it. And yes, at the same time, you can get to the joy. This year has been difficult. My 91-year-old mother fell and broke her hip January 5th, never recovered, passed on March 19th. One of my brothers passed April 23rd. My aunt passed in July and a good friend passed in July as well, another good friend in October. I feel like all I've done is go to funerals. Now my husband needs a colonoscopy for some follow-up from an at-home test, plus one of the dogs is having surgery next week. I don't know how to process any of this. I feel like I'm barely holding on. All right, let's just give you some love for a minute. Of course, let's normalize it. Of course, you're having trouble figuring all this out. It is one thing right after another, one grief set right after another. Look at all the love you're getting. I would use those three steps. I'd be okay. Acknowledge and validate. Yeah, this has been a crappy year. All this loss, all these funerals. It's been a hard year. And of course, I would feel like it's a hard year. Normalize it. Normalize it. Of, you know, how many funerals is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 funerals in a year. And looking at, you know, health for your husband. Yeah, let's normalize it. And then give yourself permission. Maybe what you need to journal about and give yourself permission to feel is your resilience when it comes to going to funerals. You keep going back. You keep offering condolences. You keep grieving. You must be the most resilient person I know. You keep inviting in more people, more loss, allowing it to be there. You are processing it. I want to offer you that you are processing it. Okay? Because you keep going. You keep moving forward. So I would journal. I would journal about it collectively. Maybe ask yourself, what am I learning about myself through this year? What am I learning about processing my emotions? How do I want to take the next step into the holidays, missing these people? What do I want to think about them? Because you do. How do I want to feel about them? All the feelings. I want to be sad that they're gone. I want to remember the time we did this together at the holidays. I want to bake the pie that my mom and I used to bake together. Whatever it is, invite it in, allow it to be there, and laugh and cry. Y'all crying? Did y'all know crying is a release? Crying actually helps your nervous system release tension. It's okay. Crying is okay. Emoting is okay. It's what we're called to do as humans. Okay. How do I embrace? This is a long process and I want it over. Why do you want it over, Nicole? That's what I would ask myself. If you want it over, if you don't want to grieve anymore, you want to push all the feelings away. Because with grief comes everything else. Why do you want it over? Because you don't want to feel sad. If you push away the sadness, you can push away the love, just like the 50-50 we've been talking about. When I talk about my dad, yeah, I get sad. But I also crack up because he was a mess. My dad was a hot mess. He was a hoot. I want to remember all of him, all about him. I don't want my grief to be over because then I wouldn't be thinking about him. There wouldn't be, what if, this is interesting, there, what if feeling sad was actually a trigger for you to remember something about him? I'm going to think on that. I think that that might actually be something I want to work on. If I feel sad that my dad is gone, what if that gives me an opportunity to bring in a memory about him that I want to nurture, remember, think about? So ask yourself that question. Why do you want it to be over? Again, what are you afraid of if it lasts? Okay. Sometimes I feel like I'm not grieving enough. Why am I not devastated from losing my husband this year? Should I feel worse? Now, that is a question only you can answer. I can't tell you. I wouldn't even try to tell you what you should feel. What I'm going to tell you is that you should allow yourself to feel. You should give yourself permission to feel. And if your feelings aren't deep, that's okay. Everybody feels differently. And a lot of times, y'all, it's like I was talking about the neighbor down the street. Your grief may actually be reflective of the depth of feeling you have for the person or the animal or the thing that you've lost. So, and grief also can come with relief. If your partner had a long, painful, debilitating death experience, sickness and death experience, you're going to layer grief probably with a little relief, with a little compassion. So with grief comes a lot of other stuff. But if you're not feeling all the other stuff, don't, you know, it's okay. Don't judge it. Just let it be there. Give yourself, go through these acknowledge, normalize, and permission steps and just see if there's anything there. If it's not, you haven't done anything wrong. Let me just say that. Okay. But if there's a little fear in there for going down the grief road, then you want to examine that. Make sense? Any advice about letting go of things that were important to a lost parent? Cleaning out their house is a major endeavor, and I feel guilt about giving away their things. It's a great question. Great, great question. That's something, again, that you're going to have to work through. When my husband's mother died and we were cleaning out her house, my sister-in-law went through this very thing. If something was important to their mom, she didn't want to give it away. She didn't want to put it in a garage sale. She won't throw it away. She kept it. Now, guess what her house looks like? She transferred the importance to her mom to the importance to her. And she's totally allowed to do that. But if it was important to your parent and not important to you, you get to decide how you want to feel about that and how you want to act on that. You might choose guilty. I can't throw this away. It was important to mom. I really don't want it, but I'll stick it in the basement. Just make sure you're thinking about long-term. If it goes in your basement, it's going to come out at some point. Somebody else, when you sell that house, somebody else is going to have to make that decision too. And are they going to know who that thing was important to and why? So it's almost like you have to think about it in those terms. just because it was important to your parent doesn't mean it's important to you. You get to decide. You get to attach importance to things and decide what you're going to do with them. But I would examine the guilt. Why is the guilt there? And would your parent want you to feel that guilt? Probably not. And if they do, you get to choose whether or not you're going to feel guilty. You answered my question recently about my husband's cancer diagnosis and surgery treatment. Thank you for that. Probably an Ask Coaches. I'm an Ask Coaches a lot, y'all. I'm finding now that we are facing radiation to the head and neck, and I'm finding my feelings moving forward being scared. Normal, right? Can we normalize that for a minute? My physical health is not fabulous, and he generally takes care of making the meals and helping care for the house. I'm feeling scared I won't be able to care for him and myself when he gets to the point of pain slash tired. How can I calm this feeling? My answer is always hands on heart, press in, and tell yourself very simple, easy phrases. So Karen, what I would say to myself is, I'll figure this out. It's okay to ask for help. I can take care of me. I can take care of him. I know I'll do my best. Breathe, deep breaths, calm your nervous system. Tell yourself those things. This hand on your heart is almost like giving yourself a hug. It is the most comforting thing I have ever found when it comes to calming myself down. So do those things, because I bet you can figure it out. You are an OBS woman, right? You can leverage the community for ideas. You can ask family members and friends for help. Heck, you can now order meals in, hot meals. But there's hot meal companies all over the U.S. now. There's one in Nashville called Vibrant. I think it's called Vibrant. You go on their website. You pick out the meals you want. They bring them to you fresh cooked. You stick them in your refrigerator and heat them up when it's time. I have a client in Staten Island who does the same thing with a different company. If you have trouble figuring out what to do, leverage this community. I bet you you've got, there's hundreds of people on this call right now. You would get hundreds of responses in the Facebook group as well. Okay. Create a little safety and calm for yourself. Repeat your mantras and deep breaths. You're going to be okay. You're going to figure this out. Okay. The intensity of anger to a point of rage for my coworker slash friend's terminal diagnosis actually scares me. I binged last night trying to escape the pain. I don't want that path again. Karen, I'm so glad you wrote in. So you're not feeling grief yet. You're feeling anger, but you can take it through the same process. Okay. Now that you're ready to look at it, I'm assuming you are because you wrote about it. Create a little safety. Acknowledge the anger. Validate it. Of course I'm angry. I care about this person. Why do they have a terminal diagnosis? This is ridiculous. Write about it. Talk about the anger. Acknowledge and validate. Then normalize it. Of course I would be angry. They're this age. They're my friend. This isn't fair. You know, give all the reasons. Normalize it. Of course it's unfair. Of course you're angry. And then give yourself permission to feel. Go through that, you know, to sit back in your chair, take a deep breath, and feel all the anger in your body. Where does it show up? For me, anger shows up in my jaw. My jaw gets real tense. You can probably see it now because I'm being very, not angry, but I don't know. Anyway, my jaw gets tense. My heart races. I feel like when I'm angry, y'all, it doesn't happen very often, but I feel like I have words that are climbing up my esophagus, ready to just burst out of my mouth. It feels like a pressure. Like I can't hold the words back. I just want to spout off. Give yourself permission to do all those things, Karen. When you allow the feeling, you don't have to eat to cover it up. The binge for you was probably taking all that anger and trying to bring you back to home base. That was your regulation, your nervous system tool to bring you back to home base. Something else you could try is going for a walk. Burn off some of that energy, dance party, music, something like that. Burn off some of that energy, because that's what the binge did. It burned off energy. It refocused you. Find other tools to do that. Be my suggestion to you. Okay. Wow, that timing was just about right. Oh, one more. Lizzie, there's a question for you. I realize from your answer. Okay, she's typing an answer. Perfect. Is there anything else? I want to remind you, if you want to process your grief with me tomorrow night, November 30th, 6 p.m. Central, right here in this room. We'll be here for an hour or so, depending on who needs what. We will we'll coach on this. We'll take you through the process. We might bring in the Now Plus Nurture method, which is another great way to process emotions. It's very much like what we've talked about here. It is also in the Trusting Your Body program, Now Plus Nurture. It will, in the Trusting Your Body program, it will focus on feelings around binge eating, but you can totally apply it to any feeling. Other than that, I think we're done. Thank you for being here. Thank you for tolerating my tears and my stories about my dad. I wish you all comfort in all of your feelings this holiday season. Be okay. Be okay with being human and embrace this gift, this real gift we have of being emotional beings. Okay? See you soon.